Welcome to Audio Face, the reverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
This is episode 185. Wow. And we have three albums for you all. In addition to a smattering of news, we have Dreamland 2021 by Zoo. Shelly, formerly known as Drum, with a self-titled eponymous album. That's your word of the week, eponymous. It's my favorite word in music.
Not going to even try and say that.
Good one. It's like, not even does Sean have cultural sensitivity and won't even try to pronounce things that are in other languages. Things in English he won't even try to pronounce.
Like hard pass.
Out of cultural sensitivity for the British, who need it because they're inbred skulls. And then we have, lastly, The Million Masks of God by, speaking of, the Manchester Orchestra. So, going into that really quickly. Usually we have some new singles right here, but we're caught in an interesting bind.
And actually, yeah.
So the Audio Face rule is like starting to Larry David my life a little bit.
Because like, every single that keeps popping out, we can't talk about it because they waited like 3 years to release a single between albums, but like technically we reviewed that single like a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yes, like Billie Eilish has a new single. Mm. There's like a whole bunch of new singles from artists that we really like that are going to be coming out with music in the coming months. But because we've talked about those singles already, because we like those artists, we don't want to talk about them here. We want to give the album or drop or whatever is coming out the full opportunity to be able to hear it and to enjoy it as a full piece. Because it gives us a whole different view on the review itself, as you'll get from the three albums we're reviewing on this podcast, which we've listened to a single from before. That being said, with plugs, make sure you check out the 2021 AF playlist that is linked in the video and podcast description for all of our picks from 2021, songs like that. You know how to follow Audio Face on Twitter and Instagram. Why should I even do that anymore? You know to check out our bonus episodes because, like, come on. Like, our bonus episodes are great. Everyone loves them. You love them. I love them. Everybody loves them. Power Report, I'll definitely pause and check out that because you got a really good episode ranking Biden's first 100 days. We traveled with Caesar to some sort of, like, theater at some point.
Oh, my God.
Like, Greek theater. Of course, we do world news on the podcast. And
it actually looked like Greek theater on the...
Yeah, it was interesting. But check out powerreport.world. You can, if you're listening to Audio Face in a podcast app, you can get Power Report in that same app. So search up Power Report or go to powerreport.world for all the links. Thank Dan, it's Friday. My Twitch stream returns in May. And usually episodes are edited by Peter, Dead Music Productions, deadmusic666 on Instagram. Those are all the plugs. We're getting through it. We'll get more efficient at it at some point, 185 episodes in. But let's get into the news. And this is a slim pickings week, so we're going to be all over the
place. Oh, mugshot, baby.
We're going to be testing the Instagram algorithm today, the YouTube algorithm today. So an ex-guitarist of Cannibal Corpse, Pat O'Brien, is being sentenced for... Like, I gotta break out the scroll that touches the bottom, like, touches the floor and bounces a little bit. It's like a CVS receipt of crime. It's just kind of...
This is a lot of crime.
Yeah. Let me see. The death metal guitarist made national headlines for his exploits in December of 2018. He apparently broke into a home in... I'm just gonna pause for the listeners here, Dora the Explorer style, because you can guess what state this is. Northdale, Florida, where he pushed a female occupant to the ground and shouted, quote, "The rapture is coming."
Oh, Jesus Christ. Literally.
Wasn't that like December 2016 when the... Okay. He apparently broke... when confronted by authorities, he charged at a deputy with a knife, at which point he was subdued with a gun.
You know what? My knife.
At the same time, the nearby house he was renting was on fire. A subsequent search of O'Brien's home turned up more than 80 firearms... two flamethrowers and three skulls. And a partridge in a pear tree.
And his mugshot is the best thing. He's like...
Of course, that's nominated for the Dusk to Dawn Award.
Oh, 100% for the Dusk to Dawn Award. For, that's beautiful.
Best mugshots of that we've been just like kind of wrecked.
We've got a lot this year already.
Only May, and we've done quite a lot of mugshots, so that's kind of interesting.
We've got four or five mugshots already. It's beautiful.
Yeah, just kind of wild. So yeah, he's finally being charged, and... The incident, the guitarist appeared in court with anti-suicide vest and shackles, officially charged with aggravated assault on a law officer with a deadly weapon and burglary of an occupied dwelling with assault or battery. He was replaced on tour from Cannibal Corpse in 1997 for whatever reason. Well, definitely because of an incident. There's like alcohol issues, psychiatric evaluations. It's a mess. Not quite winning here all the time. However, as we move on, more in the crime corner. So we talked earlier this year about how Lady Gaga had a dog sitter, and that dog sitter, that dog walker, was shot while he was walking said dogs, and then those dogs were stolen. Lady Gaga posted a $500,000 reward. Someone looking to claim that $500,000 turned in the dogs, and also became a suspect for stealing said dogs.
Yes, of course.
Among those women, four other people are charged with the kidnapping of the dogs and the shooting of that dog walking assistant. And so the suspects range in ages from 18 to 50. It's a whole kind of like weird little gang here that's going on. But they, I guess like Los Angeles PD or whatever is going to be investigating all of those.
Yes.
Koji and Gustav were the two dogs that apparently they left with, but Asia, the third dog, for those keeping track, of course, we know the important news on Audio Face, managed to escape but was later recovered by the police. So they're all fine.
See, that's the real dog right there. The one that managed to escape, and the other ones are like just chilling up on a post.
Yeah, and we did also cover the story about the dog walker who was shot. He had like really serious injuries, but he like made it through like okay, and Lady Gaga... obviously sent a lot of support, like financially, but just like morally and like stuff to him and his family while she's like filming a thing. Yeah, so that's really good. Now we get into some...
Musica!
Some music. This is really fun. We have Dreamland by Zoo.
It is 12 songs, 45 minutes long, 44, 50, 96, so 45 minutes long.
Yeah, and so Zoo...
We did Ringo's Desert, I'm supposed to say Ringo Star. Ringo's Desert Part 1 and 2 a few years ago on Audio Face. And Zoo's been an artist we both thoroughly enjoy.
He made a really big name for himself in the early 2013-14s doing like different things, blending neopop, R&B, and also like electronic music together in a really nice way with like, electronic music, but also kind of going into like a deeper sort of perspective and things, or a deeper sort of way the sound would go. This album through like other different projects he's done seems to me like a slower and darker turn to it.
Yes.
But I also like the sort of growth as an artist, because I definitely appreciate that it sounds different from other things I've worked on. Like, I can start with a couple of songs, like Lost It in Distant Lights. You sort of get to really
it sets you off in the slow, dark theme, which I like as kind of a pivot for him going into it, because he did a lot of stuff before that was more upbeat. Like, Ringo's Desert had some hints of this more darker stuff, but it didn't really explore too much into it.
Yeah.
And there's an album that, both parts, the whole project in its entirety, I liked it a lot. But this is definitely slowed down throughout the album. But it's good, because it's a change of pace for him, which he needed, because he didn't want to always be, you know, we always say, try and change your sound, do something different as much as you can, try to evolve, and... Zoo's definitely doing that.
Yeah, Zoo has been pretty good at doing that. So it's good to see that there's a continuation, because like,
even from like 2014 when Zoo became popular doing collaborations with other artists and stuff, and kind of getting up more into that EDM scene when it was really starting to on its rise, at least in America.
Like, I remember first hearing about Zoo from the Genesis Series EP in 2015, and then that had an entirely different sound to Generation Y, which had kind of like the softer R&B, like sort of like, not R&B, like kind of like pop things, like aspects there, but really like soft, chill, like almost like bedroom pop, I guess. I'm trying to get weird vibes like that. Then you get to Ringo's Desert, which is like an entirely different like Burning Man vibe, kind of like raver thing. And then you get Dreamland. I think it's a good evolution of all of that combined. But in having that same energy, it does a really clever thing where it's mellow but still feels energetic.
Yeah, well, because Lost It sets you into that dark theme. Distant Lights sounds like a Zoo. That is like a perfect Zoo track in its way. Like, you listen to it without any context, even without knowing who it is, you're like, oh, that's Zoo for sure. But it sets you up into that more darker, slower theme and everything, and I really, really enjoy Distant Lights. So I'm like, okay, this is going to suck me into the album for sure.
Yeah. Why?
Round two, baby.
Yeah. We are not connecting to Bluetooth here. There we go.
Rip.
But, yeah, when you get to How Does It Feel, which is a very interesting song.
With Chanel Triss.
At least for me, listening to me, because it sounded like a blend of a lot of what Channel Trace's stuff has sounded like, yes. Which through all the collaborations, I feel like we've heard almost a full album from Channel Trace in the past year. But speaking of those collaborations, he did a song with Disclosure, Lavender. This sounds a little bit like that, but even more so, it sounds like Ciné Pop.
It reminded me a lot of Ciné Pop from Disclosure, and I was like, but that's not Channel Trace, right? And I looked, I was like, no, it's not.
I used to like VIP, VIP, till I got lazy, damn. I used to see you and me, till shit got crazy. It used to be Hennessy, bottles every night. Had y'all niggas right, now my money tight. You niggas got me tight, 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 niggas got me tight, tight.
Yeah, it's zooey enough, with especially like the little guitar twang in the background to like make it work, but especially adding Channel Trace there, I wonder if like, Zoo and Disclosure like walking through the proverbial classroom passing notes. I mean, especially during a lockdown, you know it probably didn't happen, but they're quite similar. Not a decent song.
Yeah. But then after that you go to Sky is Crying, which is one of my favorite songs of the year.
Whoa, really, what?
Really fucking love Sky is Crying.
Wow.
I don't know why, but it's just one of those songs I listened to because I heard it as a single before, but I couldn't talk about it much. And then in the context of the album, I really, really, really like it. One of those tracks where, because with Zoo, at least for me personally, is an artist that I'll like, but in variations or so. I'll like in a little bit of dabble. It's like wasabi, you know, you put a little bit of wasabi, too much, it's like, yeah. It's a little too floof, too little, and it's not enough, but you only like it in certain situations. But Sky is Crying is a track I can listen to any time of day, any night, whatever, I could listen to that. All day long.
That's really good. That's good, especially because I guess I'm really holding myself back because I realized in like listening to this album and other people talk to me about it that I've seen Zoo live 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
A lot.
I have it.
Yeah. So. I guess I'm accidentally a huge Zoo fan. So Sky's Crying, I guess it is like one of the larger hits from the album so far. It does sound really good. But it's just like a really solidly produced Zoo track.
It's a really nice electronic track and everything. This is the thing that is giving me a lot of hope for EDM of this year, of that more crisper sound, but it's not cookie cutter per se. And there's more artists and stuff who are trying to push forward their sound and their ideas, which is good.
So. As a Zoo fan, though, I was getting through the album even on second listen. And I was like, this sounds very, very, like, it doesn't even sound as... A lot of Zoo things play well very live. They're very clubby. They work really well. But you get to the second half of the album, and it works a little bit better because you get a little piece of it in Sky is Crying and a little piece of it like in Yours. But halfway through Soko...
Soko is a pretty cool track.
Soko's pretty interesting. It begins like the first half, like the... I guess it's like a Zoo crooning thing that he does.
Yeah.
And a lot of early... stuff that has worked, but especially now, like especially Generation Y was a lot of Zoo crooning. This is kind of it returns because it's like a slower kind of thing. But halfway through Soko, it sort of switches to more of the stuff that he does like in nightclubs and dances and stuff like that, which are really fun. Which kind of leads into Only, which was the single that I had heard before Dreamline 2021,
I heard as well.
Yeah. Also pretty good, and I think it's the best blend of old Zoo and new Zoo.
Yes. Yeah. I think Only is a good representation of what the whole album is, even though it's like the lead single off of it. Normally lead singles only give you like a teaser of what it is, and like that context doesn't make sense. It's a good single for it showing, hey, this is basically the entire sound of the album, but there's a lot more substance within there that you're going to want to listen, and this is... one of the best things of it. I really like Only as well. I really like the placement of Soko and Only because that gives you, again, as you said, the older Zoo with the newer style and everything in that as well, and it's a more dancey for sure. Because that was my biggest surprise with that first half of the album. Like, you can play some of it at a club or here or there, but Sky is Crying isn't this track per se. You could do it, but you have to remix it a little bit if you want to have a lot of atmosphere, unless you just want to have a really chill environment. So that's something that I like, because it's not all just club bangers, club hits all the time, which is good.
It can get kind of repetitive if you do that.
It can, exactly.
I kind of vaguely remember like parts of like the second half of Soko, and definitely parts of Zudio 54 being played and performed and tested live, because I remember these bangers and they were really good live. And I like them
it was, Zudio 54 reminds me of a band that from Disclosure.
Yeah, I will also say that.
And that's a track that originally I hated when I first listened to it, but over the years I have learned to actually really enjoy it, and seeing it live was fun as hell.
Yeah.
So.
You have Good For You featuring Code of the Friend, who's also very good in his own. I guess there were a lot of songs on here that were sleeper songs, like I guess if you say Sky Is Crying, Good For You is also pretty good as well.
Either second or third favorite after Soko for me on the album. Really, really enjoy Good For You.
Yeah, this isn't definitely an album that gets better with listens.
Well, because the thing with Good For You is like at like the last little bit, it's like a straight up garage techno rave, which is like for me as like a UK head, I love that stuff. At the end, I was like, oh my god, this is when you're just like bouncing off the walls, not knowing what your hands, you're just going mental. That's what it sounds like. Almost sounds like a Scream DJ set from a decade ago, which is a good thing.
Yeah. You Need That, which is also like I Need That being the last song on the album.
Right.
But no, it's overall very good. I could definitely say, especially from like older Zoo fans and listeners, it might seem kind of understated when you first kind of listen to it, but like Generation Y, it definitely like grows on you with its depth and sort of the emotional reaches that it has. It's good that like, Zoo didn't try to like overproducer, continued doing something. He took kind of a route that Porter Robinson did of like, I'm willing to pare back my sound a little bit. I think Porter Robinson did like a totally different kind of thing. I'm not comparing them like directly.
They're very different projects. But
they both kind of decided to scale back the like big production EDM and for favor of doing something that felt more artistically normal for them, right?
Yeah.
So overall, I think it's a pretty good project. And yeah, it gets better with listens. Arbitrary scale this week, as we do every week on Audio Face, because a lot of actual scales that lie to you as though they're actual numerical and make sense, they are actually presented in an arbitrary way, and so we just get rid of all the footing there. We get rid of all the magic and the curtains and all the bullshit, and we just give it an arbitrary scale. This week it's going to be menthol cigarette brands, because apparently those are going to be banned in the United States, essentially. And I'm gonna give these. What are the Marlboro Black Editions?
Marlboro Black
Editions you can get in Japan.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I was gonna say this is just new, like a solid Newport pack. Like, open up every
crisp
cigarette is
Newport
crisp,
12.
Like a solid pack of Newport 12s. Like, you're good to go.
Yeah, something you have just like after the club.
Yeah, exactly.
Listening to something like Zoo.
But then the guy next to you has camels. You look at him, you're like, pleb.
American Spirits, what is this, 2013?
Oh, Christ alive.
Anyways, more news. Let's get into that, because I'm prepared for the show. Young Thug and Gunna have decided to post bail for 30 different low-level offenders at the Fulton County Jail. These are just like low-level misdemeanors and crimes and things like that. Gunna, whose government name is Sergio Kitchens, said that you never know what somebody's been
doing. I didn't think he was a Sergio, but all right, what up, Sergio?
I just had to like drop that in to see if you could like take it. It's just like, no, it's too good.
Oh my god.
You never know what somebody's been through. There was people sitting out 3 or 4 years and couldn't get out on a bond, which is like true.
It's true.
Like there are a lot of people, like they'll get like unable to pay a ticket or whatever.
Unable to pay a ticket, or you have like
possession
of marijuana or something, and you're in the fucking jail for 20 years. Or what the hell, dude?
Yeah. And a lot of these things are just like $4,000, $5,000. The reason why when celebrities get caught in things and they get like mugshots, they don't actually stay in the jails because they can always post bond.
Yeah. Like always pay a lot.
It's good they're doing that. I think it's really helpful and equitable.
We should do different bail bonds as a arbitrary scale idea.
I'm going to tap the brakes because I thought of a totally different thing because I was going to like take that in a certain way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pump the brakes, please.
Yeah. Next up, we have Shelly, FKA Drom. Mm-hmm. So Shelly, formerly known as Drom. This is not only like a rebranding, a reintroduction of Drom, the artist, as Shelly, but it's a self-titled project that he's just released. 10 songs long, 37 and a half minutes. Firmly in drop territory, but substantial enough to be an album. And
yes.
How do I intro this? I mean, I'll start this in a little bit of a random way. We did a story on Power Report about how the U.S. Census was recently taken in 2020 and how there's like a number of different population things they found that are like somewhat, some things were obscure, like didn't make sense in the numbers. But the main thing was that I think Drom or Shelly, I've got to get used to that, must have gotten wind of these like weird population numbers, seeing a decrease in maybe like people being born, and decided, no, say less, I got you. Because I'm going to create the album that is most likely to get people fucking as quickly as possible. And this is that.
Well, because the fact that he fucking made a cover of Something About Us is like, that's just...
You just gotta tap some breaks. That's three songs in. We gotta
I know,
stop,
but
we'll
just like, that is the ultimate, like, I ain't rapping, baby. He just like roll in that shit.
So again, this is a very, very neo-pop, but R&B in the sense of like... The more defensible reason you would call it R&B is because rhythm and blues tend to be like soul and like music about like love and relationships and love making very much. And this is very much in that sense in a new kind of way, but you're getting all these kinds of different callbacks from things. Like the album is sort of Shelly giving through a narration of like the process and everything he's doing and different like aspects of love with a really thoughtfully crafted list of like artists and features.
Yes.
Summer Walker, Erykah Badu, Her, Watt, all like really good choices here. But yeah, you start in with All Pride Aside. Some of these things are duets, some of these things are like other like singing bits. But it's all really good. But we'll just go ahead and get into Something About Us because I did have to do a couple of double takes to that.
Before that, you have Exposure, which is because the first track, All Pride Aside, with Summer Walker, I thought was like a decent track. But for me, I'm not like a big neopop fan. I like it. I can get into it every once in a while.
Yeah.
But All Pride Aside didn't really suck me into the album until Exposure. Exposure got me, and I'm like, okay, here, now we're talking, right?
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed that track. Outside in, let me love you over and over again. And I exposed myself to you. Took off your clothes before I did too. You showed me something new. Your vulnerable side, you gave me the proof. No such thing as cool. Was just listening to it through. Beautiful.
Yeah, I remember we did that as a single, and I was like, okay, this is... It wasn't too much of a departure from Drom, I remember saying.
No.
It's like, he had done, again, like, under the name Drom, a bunch of different little EPs here and there.
And
like,
then
there
a
like
lot
a summer
of collaborations
one.
With people here or there and stuff as well, so...
And so, this sort of movement in his sound and the way he's going about things, like, I remember the That's a Girl's Name EP. This sounds very, like, much an evolution of that sound.
Yeah.
But there's so much more production added to it. There's more thoughtfulness in the craft. There's, like, maturity and emotional experience that, like, you got from Drom before, but, like, the Drom persona was, like, it literally had Big Baby Drom in front of it. It's, like, a little bit more childlike in sort of this.
Exactly.
It seems more like some experience, some pain has been felt as Shelly here. But like some maturity is there. So that's song two, Exposure, which is pretty good. That was a single. And then song three is a Daft Punk cover.
I just won't forget how it started on listening to the album straight through. It was just like, it started out with like the Something About Us theme. And I'm like, wow, this is like a Something About Us. Like, what's he going to do? And I'm like, and he started out with the whole vocal. I'm like, he's actually doing a cover of Something About Us. I'm like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my God.
Very, very good.
Oh. Very good, because it's, first off, it's really weird to hear that song without robot voices.
But like, in Shelley's own way of doing that kind of voice thing, because he was like singing it and then like layering the voice in a way that it did it similarly. But yeah, definitely not. It was because, weird to hear it not like Daft Punk.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of weird to hear it the first part, but the second listen through is like, wow, this is a fantastic cover, because for a cover for a Daft Punk track, it needs to be really, really good in order to do it, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Love it.
Choosing like a Daft Punk song to cover and like putting that on your album, it's like you better be good.
But the biggest thing is, in the context of this album, it works.
Yeah.
Because you can easily do a cover of a random artist that you enjoy, but it not fit in your album because it's a different work. But with Something About Us, it fits perfectly in this album. So very, very good job. Love that track so
much. Yeah, it was really good. The end of Something About Us kind of leads into like more the narrative aspects of the album, going into Beautiful. You get the lay down with Her and What, which I think was a really nice song, bringing a lot of star power together, but like, it's really nice. To like performance wise though, 93 Acura Vigor with Eric.
I love that Badu. Track name a lot.
We do love our Acuras here, but I liked the like sort of call and response aspect of the song, where it's like sort of the similar things, where it's like a couple maybe like recently broken up or something, talking about they're single and like ready to be on the dance floor, like meet other people again, but it's like it's single because it's like, whose fault am I single? It's because of you. So it's sort of like a playful back and forth kind of thing that leads into a part of the album that like goes through aspects of love that include like jealousy and lust for things you shouldn't have. There's a song called Married Woman. Like, they're kind of just very explanatory there. But like that's where you see Shelley as an sort of like a matured thinker when it comes from like a songwriting perspective, when it comes to even ruminating on these songs and the narration back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like really impressive, because again, like there's the big baby drum thing I have from like the first 5 or so years of his career, and now there's this. It's a really good maturation of it.
It is. I really enjoyed this album a lot, top to bottom. Later on, towards the end, Remedies and Rich and Famous are fantastic for Anders. I think Remedies, like at the very end, Shelley literally goes, "Hey, thank you for listening to Shelley, formerly known as Drum, for this album." And then just kind of like goes on a rant, little tangent about stuff, which I thought was pretty cool. And then going into the last track, Rich and Famous, it's perfect little album ender, because it ends a little bit more upbeat for it, because the rest of the album is really like slow down, more of that neo-pop sound, but this is like that really solid like big older drums down sound, which is good. So I like it a lot.
Yeah, before we end, I have to shout out Cooking with Grease, just because it's like
a nice sort of like, track.
Whereas a lot of the album is very like big with its production, sort of like loud in your face, Cooking with Grease is a little bit more muted and like laid back, and kind of lets Shelley's like effects sort of like really like sing and play out. Stupid to me, baby, sounds so stupid to me, ain't it funny how you couldn't be in your teeth, got you cleaning your dirt. Maybe more it gets back to me. Just when you need some love, just when you need some love. So I just really, yeah, this is really, really good. And I think Cooking with Grease could even have like a bit of a play mainstream wise. It's like things start opening up. It's just like a good like background song that plays really nicely. But yeah, I'm really proud of Shelley, formerly known as Drum.
Are we gonna hear Cooking with Grease at Target though? That's the ultimate like random just monkey wrench thrown into your day.
I probably can see it. Target's like this is a larger conversation I don't think we have time for exactly in this recording, about like songs that we would think would be kind of semi-mainstream or like not mainstream enough. Like there'd be like audio face deep cuts that end up being played at Targets around here. Maybe that's
because we have Caribou and Roosevelt being played at Target so far this year.
Maybe that said something about Target. Maybe that said something about us. I don't know. We report, you decide.
Maybe the heads of Target are listening to Audio Face fans. Who knows?
At some point, they are. There are a lot of the musicians we review do listen to Audio Face. a fact that humors me every different week in different ways.
It does.
Arbitrary Scale this week, menthol cigarette brands. These are backwoods, baby. These are the ones you just take the cigars out, you just like put some cannabis in there, it's like, oh, it's just even better. Just Nice hit, perfect for you. Great.
All right, day. I'm gonna take you on a ride for what this is. This is. Do we have time?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Mission Winnow. Okay. Oh, no. Mission Winnow, right? Is a little project by the Philip Morris International brand to keep tobacco advertising on Ferrari because they're banned from the FIA to ever promote cigarettes, but they're like, we have Mission Winnow, but you don't know what Mission Winnow is. And it's the most vague corporate Pete Buttigieg sounding like website you will ever see in your entire life. And it is neon green slapped into the middle of a Ferrari, and it is the ugliest logo you will ever see in your entire life. And it kind of looks like Marlboro logo on the low.
For cigarettes.
For exactly. That's what this album is. It's that good.
But like how though? That makes it good. It's just like so sleeky. It's on the low.
It's just for how complicated Mission Winnow is. It's like that's good. It passes the FIA test for technically getting into Formula One, even though it's not allowed.
That's arbitrary enough.
Exactly. That's the whole point of the scale.
Okay. Well, yeah, you got me. So we talked about the recent passing of DMX, and it turns out New York State Senate has voted to make December 18th Earl Simmons Day, or DMX Day, in the state of New York to honor the late rapper. Nice thing.
Well, I guess
pretty good.
Can it be called DMX Gonna Give It to You Day, or what?
In that vein, his funeral service on April 25th was... A, aired on BET, which just rocks, and B, was just like the funeral procession was like a bunch of motorcyclists and all the Chevy Suburbans, like the ghetto was here, y'all.
Like, it was just magnificent on a electric blue Escalade just going like this.
Virtually. Just beautiful. Imagine like a casket in the back of beautiful. The truck. That's essentially what it was like.
Does DMX's casket have a subwoofer in it?
Casket subwoofer? No. Hearse subwoofer? Yes.
All right, there we go. Now we're talking.
Like, does the Chevy HHR hearse have the subwoofer? Absolutely.
The wood is cracking in the back of the HHR.
the ones with flames on the side, painted on the side.
Yes, there we go.
The ones that add horsepower, yes.
Plus one of agility. All right, moving on.
plus three alimony payments.
Oh, Christ.
I don't know how much of that one's going to make it out of the edit, so we'll just go with it. How do we get our first strike on YouTube?
Oh, man.
Okay. The Million Censored of God by Manchester Orchestra.
The Million Cooker Tarleton. You need to like kill your child if they're wearing a mask of God.
The Million Masks of God by Manchester Orchestra. 11 songs, 45 minutes long.
46.
Essentially 46 minutes long. Manchester Orchestra have come with a purely alternative rock album.
A straight,
which is
like alt-rock
truest alt rock of possible. Yes. Starts off kind of slow, but it's really gets into like a proper like. Alternative rock sounding thing with not too much even like by alternative rock proper I mean like 2000s, not 2010s.
Yeah, no, like early 2000s, yeah. Like early Killers style of alt rock, which is just fine.
More than modern enough to fit the bill, and there's a lot of thoughtful production in here, but yeah.
Especially at the beginning of the album actually impressed me because Inaudible is a good track to get you into the album because it's not like just a straight up normal alt rock song. It takes you a little while to kind of get into the track and everything because it's like a slower building up piece to get you into it and everything. Almost like Fleet Foxes 2017 album-ish, kind of that style for the opening two tracks. And after that, then it gets more into that like solid alt rock sound, which I don't mind. I don't mind it at all. I enjoyed it. There's some stuff in here that I wish would be experimented on a little bit more, but it's modernized enough to where it fits into this whole time. Which, again, it's a harder thing to do with alt-rock because there's only so much limitations that you have. And a lot of those other alt-rock bands and stuff that have been putting out some stuff, like Foo Fighters' album was god-awful when they put that out, and a couple others that were Uncle Rocky and everything. This year especially, and the tail end of last year, like IDK Howl, some of these bands are making very good alt-rock for this decade, which is a really good stepping stone.
Yeah, Incubus is still like the
Incubus is like that is right like the top right now
of what they're doing, even in a new era. Yeah,
Trust Fall
Side B.
Trust Fall Side B because
you do that sometimes.
Yeah, Yeah, Trust Fall Side B of last year was that is like the holy grail of new alt rock to both of us, really.
The first song I really dug on here, like Inaudible is a good intro. Angel of Death kind of helps you bridge from the kind of softer part of Inaudible to the faster part for the rest of the album. And then Keel Timing is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's a good, great track. Great, good track.
Really good, like, alternative thing, just kind of like pounding, build up, kind of going up. Really nice twangy bass, really good drums, kind of just kicking in and really going in there. And it has like a nice transition with the backdrop of it as it kind of ends into the kind of techie, glitchy thing of Bedhead, which is the lead single that we talked about a little bit as well.
Yes.
So again, that's some really thoughtful production there. And you do have a lot of things where like the tail end of songs and lead into the beginning of other songs.
I'm always a sucker for album transitions like that. So
yeah,
I always like that.
Yeah, high marks for that. You get into Annie, which is, I think, a really nice song, especially hearing it on second listen, because it does the slower thing and, like, the faster thing all in one.
This is where that reminds me of, like, mid-Fleet Foxes era, where it's like, because his voice can remind me a little bit of Robin Pecknold's voice a bit here or there for it, but it's that, like, bridge between indie and alt-rock, where it's like that in-between sound, and Annie really has that, and I enjoy those tracks as well.
Yeah. I was pacing back and forth to calm the squall. So I ran out of reasons and places to fall. Would you take my heart and nail it to your wall? I think it's very good. You get through like a really good track with everything else, like Telepath, Let It Storm, Dinosaur. These are kind of like the part of a standard alternative rock album you would have, lighter songs in anyways. And the Manchester Orchestra, they submit theirs in a really nice way. Telepath almost like has like Americana aspects of it in it, really.
I can see that.
It's just like a really nice kind of softer song. Let It Storm, Dinosaur, also softer thing with it, but I like the last two songs very much.
Way Back in the Fire Net.
Yes.
Because they're almost, like, at least for the internet, it gets to be almost ambient towards the end and everything with how it plays out. But I like that because this is what I really enjoy about this album, because if they had kept the same sound throughout the whole album of, like, Keel Timing and Angel of Death, it would have got drowned out pretty quickly. But because there is two distinct halves of this album, and that first half is that more true aughts style of, like, alt-rock, like your inner pulls of your Killers, whoever you want.
That. Back when all these bands were at their prime, by the way.
Exactly, yeah. And it's good, but it can still get that Uncle Rocky sound if you keep it too much. But when that second half of the album kicks in, and that's when they go slower, they experiment a little bit more, and you have some more substance within each track, it's very good. And that's where you'll get the hidden gems of this album.
Yeah. It's all very solid, very good. A lot of stuff added to our 2021 playlist that you can check out in the description of this podcast, this video, any one of those things. It's very good. Arbitrary Scale this week. We use arbitrary scales because other music outlets lie to you when they have scales that make sense. We give you a scale that doesn't make sense because we're just upfront. This one's going to be menthol cigarettes, as we said earlier. And these are going to be my cools.
These are gonna be your cools?
Yeah.
I can feel it, you know, like cool is a good brand. Like, you know, They've been around for a long time. They're around a bunch of different styles of people and everything, and they're really broad for their yeah. menthol. So
but this isn't like the blue one. The one that's kind of mild. This is the green. This is like
the green. Yeah, no, this is, yeah. I figured it was the green. Yeah. Cool. Like yeah. that's some good stuff in there. I wanted to say cool as well, but I'm gonna go. Shit, who is this? I'm gonna go camel.
Camel?
I'm gonna go camel. This is a solid camel menthol.
Like. Camel menthols? Absolutely.
Yeah. I can get on board with that.
We always like to end Audio Face on a fun note, and lately we've been ending Audio Face in a Sean Corner note. So it appears that among other bands such as Foo Fighters, LCD Sound System, and Dinosaur Jr., and Rise Against, Radiohead are making bikes for charity.
It's actually pretty cool. I like it, where it's like the Radiohead, like their bike is designed by none other than Stanley Donwood, who's done their art basically from day one of Radiohead, and it is the most...
I think from like at least the Benz.
The Benz on... Yeah, for sure, OK Computer, but I believe the Benz is when he started with them. I don't know if Pablo Honey, but he's been
more
with
on
them
that later.
More on that a lot later. That's gonna make a 3-hour Joe Rogan podcast, baby. We're going in. But this is a really cool idea where they design a bunch of bikes at different. They're like the, they're the foldable style of bikes where they're easy to transport, like on off trains, everything, and they're pretty easy to maintain and all of that for what it is. But they're all designed in different styles for bands, and the Radiohead one is an extremely Radiohead one. Definitely a Stanley Donwood design. I like it. I think it's a pretty cool thing. If you're a big fan, a big fan of an artist or a band, then go to get it to support some charity. So, fortunately, I don't have any room for any more bikes in my house, so I'm not going to buy it. So,
please.
Literally, I have no more room for bikes. So, I'm banned from bikes.
Yeah. They're going for, like, some sort of... Yeah, they're going to Crew Nation, so like, it would be a really fun for...
Yes.
The crew members and other like sort of like stage level jobs that have been impacted by the lack of concerts in COVID-19.
Yes.
So that'd be a really good thing, a really good cause. Psych, we usually like to end Audio Face on a fun note, but this is the
We have
the
to restart Audio note. Face on a fun note.
Yeah, so actually no, I have an idea of how to make this clean. No, never mind. I like the way we did it before. We were finished recording the episode, and then we had to start recording because I read this article and it's the best. So in a live concert that Tory Lanez did, and an interview afterwards, he spoke with a couple of DJs, spinning a couple of different announcements, including he's got some new singles coming up with Young Blue and DaBaby.
Oh,
but also
dear God.
He's gonna be releasing a full-on collaborative project with mentee and wife-beating Chris Brown.
This is gonna be called Without Warning to The Warning.
This is gonna be called the Rough Riders Anthem.
Oh, God. And so many awards, bad awards are gonna pop up.
This is gonna be called Friday Night Lights Out.
So many awards that we're going to give are going to come from that album.
Elevators, Act 1 and 2.
Oh, my God. So the album's going to be called Black and Blue.
Lead single's going to be a Beat It cover.
God, dude.
Stop. Well, doesn't mean to play us out. Thank you very much for listening to Audio Face. Follow Audio Face on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Exactly what I said at Audio Face Pod. Repetition is the thing people like because that's how you remember it. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Sean can be found on Twitter at SW Suarez and on Instagram at the same thing, SW Suarez. Make sure you check out all the stuff we're doing, future Audio Face episodes, Power Report, all that stuff. Subscribe to all the things. We appreciate it and we appreciate you. See you next week. Cheers.
Toodaloo. Listen to MajorityPort.fm.